Congress approved the Affordable Care Act more than 8 years ago, and it continues to be a political flashpoint, both here in Arizona and in Washington, D.C. The current open enrollment period ends on Friday, and in advance of that, we're looking at the issue of health care in a series of conversations. Opioid addiction is a dramatic problem that is affecting the entire country, and efforts are underway to try to prevent the issue and treat those with the problem, rather than punishing them. And the prevalence of the challenge is even more dramatic among Native Americans. The Department of Health and Human Services awarded $50 million earlier this year to assist American Indian and Alaska Native tribal efforts to combat the epidemic, but most say it isn't nearly enough. To learn more, I'm joined by Lee Yeva. He's Director of Operations at Scottsdale Recovery Center and a member of the Hopi Tribe. Lee, how have you seen things change over the past decade or so when it comes to opioid addiction?
It's actually getting worse, and I think as tribal communities, we are getting further away from the innate qualities of what every community thrives on. And the innate qualities that I'm referring to are the cultural practices, the language, the food, the ceremonies, the traditional aspects of who we are. And we started drifting further towards Western culture and civilization, which incorporates a lot of things that, you know, as far as us integrating those beliefs and believing that in order to remedy some of these things, it has to be self-induced through medications and, you know, other forms of coping mechanisms. When in reality, we had such a close-knit tribal community back in the day where we were able to come to one another. And just like that thing about it takes a village to raise a child, we're very integrated. And now we're so far away from that, that we're looking for any means to remedy and to, you know, take away the pain and all of these things that weren't necessarily a part of it because we were doing it together as opposed to individually.
Is that a problem on the reservation as well as off?
Yes, especially off, because myself, I've been sober now for 13 years and I removed myself from the reservation to acquire this sobriety. But once I acquired it, I fully understood and recognized I couldn't go back because of the lack of resources, the sustainability and maintenance that's required to be able to continue in my recovery just wasn't there. So I stayed where I knew I could receive the support and the compassion, the love and the respect of somebody going through the recovery process and to be able to thrive in the conditions that are conducive to the recovery process. Prior to that, you know, I did want to go home and I did want to return to my home environment. And I did for a very brief period of time, but I come to find that there was just nothing there to support and nurture this process for me. So I came back to where I knew that I could thrive.
Is that a lack of resources? Is that a lack of identifying the problem? Is it more than that?
It's so much more. I mean, there's so many things that when I'm looking at the tribal communities, it is a lack of resources, a lack of knowledge, information, sustainability, maintenance, financial resources, people. I mean, all of those things together, you know, add to this and they compound on top of one another. And when that happens, I think that, you know, there is no opportunities to be able to return to our home environment and thrive because just a mixture of all those things together, it really provides a toxic environment for us to return to. And as we solidify our foundation in recovery, we return to our home environment to come to find that it doesn't nurture who we are. So it's just all of those things. But I think in regards to the opiate epidemic, you really think about the environmental conditions, and the reservations generally are separated by a great distance from nearby towns or communities. The nearest town or the nearest city to where I'm from is 2 hours away. Back on the reservation, there's probably two grocery stores, one hospital. Mm. And if I was to put in and if I was to inject opiates into my community right now, there is no Narcan, there is no methadone clinic, there is no residential treatment facility, there is no measures in place to provide preventative maintenance or even respond to those type of conditions. Mm. And to think of it in that sense, you really look at conditions across the board. If you look at suicide, oral health, diabetes, substance abuse, they're all at epidemic levels.
What's going to make that more of a priority, do you think?
Unfortunately, it's going to be loss, grief, pain, suffering. And once we revisit that as a community, people are going to start to express the need for these things. And it's generally how it is. I mean, we find ourselves in these conditions and then we get vocal once it becomes problematic. And even in that sense, it could affect the community, and the community will speak to the leaders in tribal government and say, this is what we need as a people, as a community. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it takes something to happen to the intimate relationships that they have for them to respond accordingly.
Are there certain preventive things that you've thought of that you've seen that would make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. There's things that for me personally, I feel like getting back to the innate qualities of our people and to recognize that as we are creating an individualized process for every member that we serve at Scottsdale Recovery Center, we fully understand that these innate qualities have to be reintroduced to the process and create a sense of purpose and identity and a cultural sense of identity about who and what we are. Because when you know who you are, you know who you are not, and you'll know what works for you. And so as we do this, we approach this in a sense that every single person that we meet is an endangered species. They're one of a kind in the entire world. We'll never have the privilege or the opportunity to work with these people again. And we treat that as such. We understand and we recognize fully that we're dealing with somebody's daughter, somebody's mother, somebody's sister, somebody's brother, somebody's grandson, somebody's nephew. And we work in that capacity, but also we recognize that each person has a sense of moral obligation and values that have been produced somewhere. And to revisit that and integrate that into the process of recovery is very important.
How have you changed over those 13 years of recovery? How much insight have you gained into yourself and what others go through?
A great deal. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict who came off the streets of Torrance, California as a homeless person. I came here to Arizona to find myself again. And part of that, in reality, I chased the dream. I chased the picket fence, the three-car garage, the three-piece suit, and I was able to acquire that in California. But when I found myself in that place, I found that it was so far removed from who and what I was that I didn't fit. And I came back to Arizona because I was trying to find my roots, to reestablish myself on the foundation of recovery while incorporating the idea and the thought that I'm an indigenous person who has a pre-existing moral sense of values and all of these things that have been conditioned that I've drifted away from because I was chasing something that didn't belong to me. There was a time when I was about 7 or 8 years old and I went to my mother and I said, if this is what it means to be a Native person, I don't want to be it. All I saw was poverty, lack of education, purpose, and direction. And people that had education and experience and knowledge and information to share, but there was no jobs, there was no housing, there was no public transportation, there was no opportunity for these people to thrive. So instead, you know, you really look at the conditions and you look at this gentleman with a master's degree who can't get a job and who's being told you're overqualified. And then that turns into depression, that turns into alcoholism, that turns into domestic violence, that turns into, you know, a complete toxic environment. And then, you know, you look at this person and all of the potential and the capacity for greatness was deteriorating throughout the years and nobody intervened. You know, I'm very fortunate to have come from that and to be able to merge both and living in two different worlds. But it's a choice that I had to make in order for me to thrive in my recovery, because I'm fully aware that if I had gone back home without the support, without the environmental care and the structure to support my process of evolution, I wouldn't be here today.
Lee Yeva is Director of Operations at Scottsdale Recovery Center and a member of the Hopi Tribe.